Okay, we were talking about Isaac Reimers, who had lived in the Interlake region and had been connected with the EMCs. They had moved into Ontario. Do you know when? Any idea?
Well, Reimers were here off and on for a number of years. They spent several months over here, and then they moved to Belize, then British Honduras. And I believe they were there as well in the beginning of that work.
EMC started there?
Yes. To my knowledge, I think I'm correct on that.
Mm-hmm. And then they moved back in again?
Yes, they've had land connections with Belize ever since, and they always spend several months a year over there, and then they come back.
Okay.
And they seem to be moving back and forth quite a bit.
So they were also in 65, then they were part of the group that beginning.
I would think possibly earlier in 66, 65. I can't recall that they were there. I don't think they were here at the time of the evangelistic meetings.
I see.
They came later.
They came later. Okay.
But
they had already been in and out in the meantime earlier, like coming in for the summer and working here and that kind of thing.
They may have been. I'm not sure.
Who would know that?
I think the Harms would.
John Harms?
Yes, they would know. The Reimers and the Harms came, to my knowledge, came on the scene more at the same time.
I see. Okay. All right. Just trying to get that early period there cleared up because it's kind of foggy sometimes.
Yes.
You're going to say something yet?
The Henry Crons, who are now members of the Open Bible Baptist Church, also appeared on the scene either 66 or 67, moved in from Manitoba, from Steinbeck.
They had been church members there where you were ministering.
Yes, they were members of the Gospel Fellowship Church in Steinbeck. Then also the Bill Giesbrecht came on the scene. We started early. I'm not exactly sure. Did Helen give you the approximate dates of
I didn't write them down.
When Leamington was started, Bill Giesbrecht came early on the scene over there.
They were one of the first ones.
They were one of the first ones in the organizing of the church.
Where did they come from?
They came from Steinbeck, from the Gospel Fellowship Church.
Okay. And they're still here? They've been here ever since?
They've been in the Leamington area ever since.
Okay. So they would have come early for the Leamington...
Yes.
What's the chronology here? We have the Aylmer group starting up north of Aylmer here, and then who came next? The Leamington group was started next?
The Leamington group and the Port Rowan group was started in a very, very close sequence. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, you're trying to determine here now when Leamington started. Repeat again.
I think it, if I recall right, either in 66 or 7.
Late 66, possibly.
Yes. We had some contacts in Leamington. The first contact I recall very vividly. A child was killed, run over by a car, and we were asked to come and conduct a funeral in the Leamington area. Well, it was out of Chatham. And
whose child?
The child of Henry Froese family. The several members of the Froese family are still members of the EMMC Church here at Aylmer.
Related to Ben Froese?
No, they're
different. Okay.
There are different Froeses as far as I know. There are
why did they call you in? Did they have contact with EMMC here in Aylmer?
Well, it seemed that we were the only people besides the old colony who were dealing with people that had just come in from Mexico. I know the Froeses had just arrived from Mexico not long before that, when the child was killed. By the way, Mr. Froese is the uncle to Judy, the wife of Diedrich Tarms, Judy and Dick.
Okay, let's come back to Aylmer now for a minute. And you began your services then in 65, in November, shall we say, or December, when you arrived in the church northwest.
Yeah, the Crosley, the former Crosley Hunter Church.
Okay. Is that church still existing today, standing? Or?
The building has been changed to a residence.
Okay. Now, how long did you stay at that church then?
I believe the next year. I'm not sure. Now, I may be wrong there, but I think we only stayed there till we started building the next year. In July, we started building the existing church, the EMMC church, on number 3 highway, just east, yes, just east of Aylmer, at Summers Corner.
So you started in July of 66.
Yes.
When did you move into that building?
We moved in there I believe early of 69, shortly after
67,
shortly after the new year, if I recall right.
Okay. And in the meantime, you had stayed at this other church all that time.
That's correct.
That was quite full there then, with a lot of people?
Oh yes, that building was just by far too small.
What did the early services consist of? What did you do?
Well, we began with Sunday school. Our first Sunday schools were almost like a service in itself, but it was just the children in separate classes. They were in two classes, and the adults all were just like an adult service, except that we had a Bible study type of Sunday school, a little more of a lecture type than what we generally have, and question and answers from the floor that we tried to answer. We asked for questions to be given to us a week ahead of time, and then we would announce what the questions were and told the audience that this is what we were going to deal with, and we had a kind of a question and answer period, a general Bible study. That's how Sunday school started. They had very little knowledge of Sunday school, although a few of the families had been connected with Henry Weeds, who were from the east, who drove into the old colony church to start a Sunday school or help with a Sunday school. That was the only Sunday school they'd ever seen. Most of the people had never too much heard of a Sunday school.
That was strange to them. So then your early services consisted essentially of that Sunday school. That was the service.
That Sunday school, and then we'd have a morning service where the children were brought in.
Oh, then you'd have as well. So you'd have two things. You'd have Sunday school and then also a service where everyone was together.
That's right.
That you started right from the beginning.
Yes, and then in the evening we had
Sunday night
evangelistic services, that type of a service, as well as, I believe, every other Sunday we had a Jugendverein, where people participated in bringing special numbers. This is where the Peters boys got a real start in their musical kind of orchestra singing group that they had it for several years, and Ben and Nettie are still ministering that way occasionally wherever they're asked to serve.
Okay, so that format then continued all the way through when you moved into the new building at Summers Corners, the same thing there?
Yes, it became became more organized and started with Sunday school material. And by that time, we had Art Kriegers had come to help, and Dave Dix had come to help.
And Henry Kranz.
And Henry Kranz. So there were at least those three outside families.
Okay.
And there were others who had come on the scene, such as Peter Kranz, and as I mentioned before, the Harms and the Reimers.
Isaac Reimers,
and Henry Peters had made up his mind that he was going to work along, and they were at that time helping, and there were, of course, a number of other families who I can't even recall. There were more families coming in steadily, almost almost every Sunday we'd have families who we didn't know where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
They would start gathering together and coming, participating.
I'm reminded now to backtrack a little and ask a question regarding the meeting you earlier talked about of the EMC. The ministers had come in and talked to the people when they decided then to go EMC.
Mm-hmm.
What did the EMC decide to do then? Simply to pull out? How was that?
Yes, the agreement was made then that as I understand, if I recall it right, they were present when they presented what they had come for. We had withdrawn for a couple of days. They presented what they had come for, and then a vote was asked for. And the vote was almost unanimous that EMMC should be the...
What did the EMC do then?
Then they withdrew, saying that, they felt, they wished us the Lord's blessing, and they withdrew. I don't recall all the details, but we had a very fine understanding.
Did you meet with them personally then after that meeting as well?
Yes, we met with them, and...
They
realized that the feeling was that they would want EMMC to take over the organizing and the church as such.
Okay.
And they consented, and as I said before, they wished us the Lord's blessing, and they withdrew.
Now, let's move ahead again then. How did you first organize the group? 65, as you started, late 65, early 66. Did you elect anybody to lead things, or didn't you do that at that point? Did you have any kind of organization of this group here?
Yeah, well, we organized a committee, a church committee. By the way, I believe it was that year as well when Ernest and Rose Friesen came on the scene to help with the music.
66.
Yes, I know they were still in the Crosley Hunter Church.
Oh.
So before we left the Crosley Hunter Church, Ernest and Rose were there helping along. And they also, of course, accompanied when the move.
Ernest and Rose. Ernest is Friesen is the son to John D. Friesen.
That's correct. And
okay.
They've been with a conference, I believe, ever since,
yeah,
as workers.
Okay, so you organized a church committee.
Mm-hmm.
What did do you know who was in that committee, first of all? And they then helped to run the church, essentially?
That's correct. They took care of the research program as such until we organized as a conference, which took place considerably later. I'm not exactly sure when we organized as
part of the UNFC.
Yeah. Maybe some of your the people you're contacting, maybe they would remember the exact date. Maybe somebody kept a diary on those things.
So far, I don't know. Okay, so then it was at that point considered to be a mission work of the UMC.
That's right.
I suppose. And then after a while, after several years, it then became a self-governing body.
I think approximately 2 years after we started, it became organized and it became an indigenous church in a sense, self-propagating church.
Okay, we're after a break here. We're continuing on the interview, and you have some other information regarding Isaac Friesen and the early beginnings of the UMC here in Ontario.
Yes, Mr. Friesen mentioned to me that he had been invited into the Vineland area by a man who at one time worked for him at Winkler and who had taken up residence in the Vineland area. And when he found out that...
He was a Mexican Mennonite?
No, he was not a Mexican Mennonite. He came from the Winkler area and worked for Mr. Friesen for some time and then moved out east to the Vineland area.
Okay.
When Mr. Friesen bought a new car and was going to pick it up at Oakville, I understood, he decided to go and pay a visit to this, and I believe it was a Mr. Dick, if I recall right. And
this was the year of new cars, that it's probably 64 or 65, when the back window on the Mercury's was sloped the backward way.
That's right. If I recall right, that was about a 64 model that he picked up at that time. So it could have been 63 or 64 when he picked that up. But anyway, he went to see this ex-worker of his, and it being Saturday, this gentleman asked him whether he wouldn't care to preach on Sunday morning. After some discussion about it, he said, "Well, what church are you affiliated with, or where are you going?" And they did mention that Mr. Wickert of the General Conference was very interested in the people of Mexican Mennonite origin that had just come in that area, and they wanted somebody to come and bring the word to them. Mr. Wickert apparently had made some connections with them, but when he found out that Mr. Friesen was in the vicinity, though they were strangers, in a sense, Mr. Wickert asked Mr. Friesen to speak at the morning service. So Mr. Friesen had the message in the morning service.
In Vickers Church.
So I understood.
Mm-hmm.
And had an altar call, and people, he asked, of course, for them to stay after the service, not for them to come forward. And I understood that several were dealt with. And then he was invited to speak at a silver wedding in the afternoon, and it developed into evening service, and just continued on that way. And then an official invitation was given to Mr. Friesen to come and have services there at a later date, which was not too far in the future. And I understand that Mr. Friesen went back there and had a very successful evangelistic campaign, with quite a number of people saved. And it was at that time when they invited EMMC to come and work over there. But since the GCs were working there, they felt it would be better if they directed the people to fellowship over there.
Who's they? When you say they invited the EMMCs?
Well, it was a group of Mexican Mennonites who were now saved and who were formerly apparently not going to the General Conference Church, but now when they were saved they were looking for fellowship. And I understand that the majority of them joined the General Conference Church at that time.
I see. Okay. And then did Friesen make other contact closer to Aylmer here then too or not?
Yes, I'm not sure whether it was after the campaign he had at Mr. Wicket's church or in the near future, together with some of the people from Vineland, he made some connection over here at Aylmer, because there was some connection between those people from Mexico that over there and these here in the Aylmer district that were slowly coming into the Aylmer district. But I understand that is where one of the first connections were made.
So that would that? Do you have any idea if that how that relates to Jake Newdorf coming in here as well and getting a car?
I know at about that time, somewhere in that time period, Jake at Newdorf also picked up a vehicle. Whether it was a car or truck, I don't recall. But anyway, he came.
Maybe the same year.
It could be the same year or the following year when Jake at Newdorf came in and made some contacts too, and I believe it resulted in Mr. Newdorf and Mr. Friesen going back here. And it could have been at the same time when my brother Johnson also accompanied them. I'm not clear on that.
Okay. So probably Friesen, Isaac Friesen would know that.
Yes, I believe he would be able to recall that quite distinctly.
Yeah. Okay, that's good information. Let's move on then and take a look at or talk a little bit about the beginning at Leamington. Can you give me any kind of a date? I think earlier in the tape you would suggest 1966.
Yes, it was possibly in 66. And I mentioned the funeral,
yes,
which was at Chatham, which brought quite a few of the people from the Tilbury area and well towards Leamington over there for that occasion. And
had you known about people in that area earlier than that already?
Well, we knew that some people were moving in, but we hadn't been acquainted, or at least I had not been acquainted with the people in the Leamington area before that time. But I recall that was not too long afterwards when I learned to know people such as the former Bishop Reimer and his family.
Henry Reimer?
Yes, Henry Reimer. And we had Bible studies at their house. Mm-hmm. And there were a goodly number of people coming in. And
okay, how did that develop? What actually started? Where did you first go to have meetings? In the houses?
We had these prayer meetings, Bible studies in the houses. We're invited to have afternoon services on Sunday. So about, I would say, about 4 o'clock on certain Sundays, we would gather in houses and have a service.
Whose houses? Do you remember? Reimer's was one.
Reimer's was one. I don't distinctly remember what houses were all involved, but there was shortly after there was a school, which the Peter Hargers rented, and they had the biggest living room, of course, it being a classroom. And
now I need some information. Who were the Peter Harders?
Peter Harders were then living close to Coatsworth. Peter Harders were also living at Belize for a time.
I see. Where do they now?
I think the Harders are either are in Belize now, or possibly, I'm not sure where they went. Okay. They seem to move a lot. Some of their family, from the Harder family, are now members at the Goddess Gemeinde here in Elmer.
I see. Okay. Now, you may have had meetings then also in the houses. The houses was the first place you had meetings.
That's correct.
So, the Henry Reimers, would you have meetings at the George Friesens too?
Yes, and at the George Friesens.
And was there another family?
And I was just going to say at Bernard Friesens, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
But
the brother.
It seems to me Bernard Friesens also had invited.
Okay.
We were having the services and alternating in different homes.
Okay. So far I've been able to find three houses where they had those kind of meetings.
And then with the Harders invited us.
Okay. Now the Harders, the school, that came after then?
Yeah. That really got the ball rolling of looking for a larger place for
it. How long a time did you, like, it was infrequent, maybe every second, third week that you met in the houses?
Yes, I think it was every second Sunday that we went over.
How long did you do that? Several months or a year? Or
yes, what? I would say maybe 3-4 months. And then, if I recall right, we started in that school where the Harders were. Then another school, and I don't recall what the name of the school was, but that was a school which was more in the locality where the EMMC church is at present. It was not very far from there. And we rented that building.
Okay, for my information, I'd like to add something here. From my information so far, I found out about a school that a Cornelius Giesbrecht lived in on the east side of Wheatley. Is that, are you aware of that?
This could be the building, the same building. I'm not sure who lived in it at that time.
Okay. Do you remember Cornelius Giesbrecht? They had started, that's where the old colony had started there, and then they moved out of there. And from my information so far, there's some suggestion that the EMMC met there then too.
It appears to me, I think that information possibly is correct. I've forgotten the details.
Okay. Would that have been after Peter Harder's place?
Yes, that would be after Peter Harder's place. Or, yes, I believe very shortly afterwards, maybe the next place after the Harder's.
Yeah, how long were you at the Harder's place?
Only a few Sundays, if I recall right. Maybe it could have been 3-4 times.
Okay. Where was that school now, or were they Harder's?
That was at in the Coatsworth area.
Okay.
That was closer to Tilbury. And then we went in the other direction, which was closer to Leamington again. And finally, it developed that a work was started.
Okay. Now, the second school you're mentioning, closer to Leamington, can you give me more specific directions where that is? Anyway, was it between Leamington and Wheatley?
Yes, between Leamington and Wheatley. I'm not sure whether it's on which road it is.
Which side of Number 3 Highway?
It'd be on the south side of Number 3 Highway. In the general area, just a little past where the present church is located, maybe a road or two down farther south.
Oh.
I think it's just the next road down, if I recall, in that farther towards the Wheatley.
You're getting very close to the lake then?
Yes, then you're getting fairly close to the lake.
Okay. And there you met for a short time? Oh. That was simply rented?
To what I recall, it was simply rented for the occasions that we had the services there.
Okay. And then from there, where to?
I believe that the next was when the Jake Heppners moved in and the service was held in their garage.